Why don't you turn to 1 John first? 1 John 3:21 through 24. Beloved, if our heart condemneth not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandments. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him, and hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. I thank the Lord today that the Bible gives us commandments. And, you know, the first thing we know that's so important is Jesus. Jesus shed his blood to save us from sin. But the moral law is important, very important, and is to be obeyed. And in the New Testament, the commandments were not done away. They were fulfilled. God made a plan that we could have power to keep them. But we are to still obey those commandments. And we want to look at these commandments and ask the Lord to help us this morning to really get the message from God. You know, God loves us, and he wants to help us get to heaven. And he wants to teach us his ways. And I thank the Lord that the Lord loved us. I also want to read 1 John 5 and 2. It says, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So we know that we can overcome the world by keeping the Lord's commandments. And we know there's more even on top of that, that the Lord teaches his saints. But this is very foundation for people to start with. And I know that recently we had heard that in the world that they just want 6 of the commandments. Now, I don't know which 4 they want to do away with, but I can probably kind of imagine some of them. But, you know, it doesn't matter what people say. There are more than 6. There are 10, and they are to be obeyed, and God expects us to obey them. We cannot do away with any of them. They're just in stone, not only in the stone back then, but they're in our heart. And the Lord wrote them in our heart. And I just thank the Lord for that. I want to turn over to Exodus in the 20th chapter, and we want to start dealing with some of these commandments. I know that the Lord is going to bless us and help us to get a hold of these. Exodus 20, we want to start reading there. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the 3rd and 4th generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the 7th day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. Do you know that there's great power in these commandments? And do you know that there's great power in keeping the commandments? And no, it is powerful. When the Lord gave the commandments, he gave it with very much power. He gave it with lightning, thundering. You know, I mean, the people were so afraid and fearful that they were trying to hide themselves. And they even said, tell the Lord not to speak to us. You speak to us, Moses. We don't want the Lord to speak to us. They were afraid because of the power of God Almighty. This power is in keeping these commandments. They are still very strong, and they're a safeguard to us. They will help us to make it to heaven. They're, you know, even before I was saved, I had the fear of God. I had the fear of God not to say a bad word. And even when I wasn't saved, if I did slip, I would ask God to forgive me. Yes, I did. I would ask him to forgive me. When I was with others, I would pray in my heart, oh God, forgive me because I have a fear of you, Lord. Because God is the great God Almighty. He gave us our lives. I want to go back over these commandments, and I want to start with, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Or we want to turn over here to Matthew, I believe it is 22. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy might. You know, that's the way the Lord wants us to love him. The 37th verse of 22nd chapter of Matthew. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Dear ones, if you love God that way, if you love him with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, there is no room for the devil. The devil can't get in there in any way. When you love God like that, there is nothing in this world that can keep us from making it to heaven. When we love God, no mountain we hurt, no trouble of any kind, and I know that's a big statement, but it's true. If you love God, you will keep at it. You will stay saved. You will keep faithful. You will go forward. You will not let nothing hinder you. Because why? Because you love God so much. Oh, do you love God that much? You know, it says we live and we move and we have our being because of God Almighty. He created us. He gave us our life. How people are so selfish with their lives. They're so self-centered with their lives. They don't give God their life like they should. God made them. God gave them their breath. Every day they breathe and get up in the morning. Do you know when we awoke this morning, God woke us up. God gave us strength to get up. God has the blood flow through our veins. God help us to be able to think. God does all things for us. He is a great, almighty God. He's worthy to be praised. We're to love him with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind. There's every bit of us. Just love him. Love him so much. You know, you love the Lord like that, the devil can't get in there. Love is strong. Love is so strong. I don't like hate, do you? I don't like hatred, but I like love. I love love, and I love God. Oh, I tell you, we can testify this morning, we love God. We are the children of God. We love God. Praise the Lord. We want to read, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all thy mind. You know, your mind works things on you, doesn't it? Your mind comes along and says things. The devil talks to our mind. Do you know the enemy can talk to your mind? He can put suspicion in there against one another. He can do all kinds of crazy things. But when we just rebuke the devil because we know that we love one another and we know that we want to go to heaven and we just love one another, you rebuke the devil. I know years ago, one time it comes to my mind, you pray for me that I want to keep everything I say in the order of the Lord. Dear sister came to me in Guthrie. She said, sister, when she was at Monarch and you're one of our ministers, you didn't speak to me. You didn't say hello. I said, I didn't? Oh, I'm so sorry. I said, you know, I didn't do it on purpose. But you know how busy Monarch is. You know how busy we are. How we work. We're coming here to work for the Lord. You know, work. And I didn't do it on purpose. But you know, every time I see that sister, I try to say hello. But what I'm trying to bring in this illustration is don't let the enemy work on your mind. Love the Lord with your mind. Supersede the devil. You know, when he comes in like a flood, it says the Spirit of the Lord would raise up a standard against him. So when he comes in, you say, you know what? I love them, and I love them, Lord, and I had the victory. I know I love them. I'm not listening to the devil, and you know, and whatever he whispers to us, I'm not going to believe it because I know I love you. And you know, the Lord, we can just work in our mind to the glory of God. Love him so much that you can do that. When the devil says you can't do something, I can do all things in the name of Jesus. I can do it. So it says here, and this is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You know, if we love each other like ourselves, we'll get behind one another. Do we like ourselves? How many here? Do you like yourself? Do you love yourself? If you don't love yourself, you're kind of a strange person, really, you know. Everybody loves themselves. When you get hungry, do you go feed yourself? When you get thirsty, oh, you pamper yourself, don't you? Go get you some water. I'm thirsty now. My flesh is thirsty. I got to get some water. I got to take care of myself. And you know, you take care. You stub your little toe or something. You're just so worried about, oh, dear. And you just want to take care of yourself. You know, we need to love one another like that. Care about one another. Care about one another. Really care. Really get in a burden to love one another like that. Try to understand one another. We're all different. I'm so glad God made us different. We're all different personalities. But you know what? God loves us all with our personality. With our personality, He knows how to sanctify that personality, you know? You know, my personality, I was telling someone yesterday, they invited me out and I went down there with them. I thought about staying here, and I have been eating too much, but they want to go to the restaurant, so I thought about staying here and not eating nothing and just keep on fasting. But I felt like I should go with them. There were some sisters, and I'm my daughter and one a sister. But you know, afterwards I thought, oh, I'm so full, I ate too much, you know. But you know, the thing is, we got to take time for one another. We got to be with one another. We got to socialize a little bit more, you know. I mean, you don't have to do too much, you know, but so we need to love one another enough to take time for one another. People are so busy, they don't have time to have lunch with you. Sometimes, you know, I know I had one sister, I want to have lunch with her. She couldn't do it. We tried to make an appointment. I couldn't do it. Then she couldn't do it. And I said, you know what, we're gonna have this lunch. And it was making me feel guilty because I had made this plan. And I'm still talking about loving one another. This is what I'm trying to tell you. I'm doing this illustration, you know. But, you know, the Lord worked it out because I kept, sister, we need to have lunch together. She said, well, I can't do it. She called me, I can't do it. And then, so finally, the one day time, she says, I can go. And we were working for the Lord in this time. And you know what happened to me? It worked out. It was on her birthday, and I didn't know it. We went out to lunch. She says, my birthday. But you know, the Lord worked that out. He kept just stopping it. It wasn't working out. But when God worked it out, it was her birthday. You know, the Lord knows all that, doesn't he? He knows how to work with us. Oh, I thank the Lord. Well, we could go on, but we want to go on. But on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. All the law and the prophets. So if you want to obey the Lord, we got to go back to these first two commandments first. Right? Is that right? Got to think about it. Got to love God with all my heart. So when we come up against an obstacle and something's trying to hinder us, humble ourselves. Humble ourselves. I remember I've been around for a little while, you know. And some of the ministers talking to us one time years ago, ministers meeting. And I think it was Brother Austin Wilson, but he said, you can get out of every problem you're in by humbling yourself. You know, it's so, and people think, it's so hard to humble. Is it hard to humble down? Is it? Sometimes it is. I don't know. I'll tell you the truth, sometimes it is. But the Lord, if you really love the Lord enough, you can do it. And the devil can whisper to you, I don't need to humble down anymore. I'm humbled down enough. But you know, you can just humble down some more. It won't hurt you. It won't hurt you to humble and love one another and humble down a little more. Yes. And the Lord can help us. He can help us with everything. And you know, it says, you just got to love. These two commandments. Don't forget these two first commandments. So important. Now we want to go on to the next one. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You know, I want to turn over to Daniel 3. You know, lots of trouble with in the Old Testament, especially. Of course, we have different idols now. But lots of trouble back then about these idols. And I know in other countries they have the same thing. But America has different idols. We heard some the other day about the world. Oh, I tell you, we got to watch the world. We got to keep the world out of our life. I am so happy, you know, I'm so happy that I have been able to stay off that cell phone because it doesn't work very good here. It don't work. And that's all I just tell everybody. Don't work. Can't talk to you. I am so happy. I just like to go somewhere where it doesn't work. I don't want it to work. I don't want to get on another plane where it will work. I don't want it to work here. And I can still text, so. I had to learn all those things, you know. But I'm texting a little bit to my husband. But I said, we can, you know, do that. But, you know, I'm so glad that we can get away from those things, aren't you? That is, we need to come here and do business with God, and we need to separate ourselves from the world as much as we can while we're here. Separate. It's like we're going to heaven, but we're not like in the actual heaven, but you know. We're sitting in heavenly places here, and this is where we're at, so we need to get away from the world. So I want to read up just a little bit. We know this familiar Daniel 3. And 14, it says, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now I'm going to give you a chance. If you be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made well. Everything will be fine. Have you ever been in a place where the world is offered to you, and if you do this, everything will be fine? You know, we can get along just wonderful. Everything will be well, but just people have struggles. You know, at the altar, I've got to go home. I got to face my family. I got to tell them I'm measuring up on this. I remember when I first got saved in Michigan, and Jerry got saved Wednesday. I got saved Friday, and we got married Monday, and I had the wedding ring. But I measured up everywhere else that I know of, you know. And I got rid of my pants. I got rid of my shorts. I got rid of my makeup. I got rid of everything like that. And I'm embarrassed to even say this, but, you know, I smoked cigarettes. Can you imagine? I can't imagine. I've been saved so long. But I got rid of it all. And the Lord delivered me. Praise the Lord. That night I was delivered. And I got rid of all those things, but I still had this little wedding ring, and it really, you know, I just got married, and it didn't mean a lot to me. And the devil was working on that, I tell you. He was, you don't want to give that up. And no, I don't want to give that up. And I don't know if I have to give that up. And then Jerry's grandmother was like my little pastor, and she took me to make my wrongs right. And she goes, now the next thing, honey, is you're going to have to get rid of that wedding ring. And I was driving the car, and I just stiffened up. I thought, you're measuring me out so fast. You know, and she was, bless her heart. But I just said, Lord, help me. You know, it was hard. But Brother Humphrey came up there, and Sister Humphrey, to preach the gospel to us in Uncle Ralph's basement. And Brother Humphrey was preaching on jewelry and costly array. Well, I had my hand had broke out from dish liquid, so I didn't have the ring on. But it was in my heart. But when he was preaching, the Lord said, you are not to have that anymore. You are to get rid of it. And I said, okay, Lord, I see the light. And I was learning. I was learning about how the saints talk and how we get the light and all that. So I said, okay, I've got the light. And I'm going to tell the saints I got the light because I don't have it on anyway. But, you know, the devil whispered to me and said, if you tell the saints that you got the light, you'll never be able to wear that again. Because that's exactly right. That's why I'm going to tell them. So I stood up and I said, the Lord's giving me the light. The ring's gone. Never going to put it on again because I heard it in this message. I have the light. This is what the Lord wants us to walk in the light. As he is in the light, we can have fellowship one with another. So, you know, it's wonderful how we can be faithful to God. And back to the scripture here, the king was testing them. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Well, do you think there's anybody greater than God? Do you think there's any person that can keep you in any kind of bondage or trouble? No. God is greater than anybody. He's greater than you and I. He is God Almighty. So they knew that. Shadrach knew that. Meshach and Abednego. And they said, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee this matter. In other words, we're not even going to think about it for 5 minutes. We're not going to think about it for 20 minutes. We got an answer for you right now. We are not bowing down to your idols because that's a commandment. We are not doing that. And if you want to put us in the fire furnace, so be it, the Lord can deliver us. And what happened? The Lord delivered. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and we know what happened. And he heated it 7 times hotted, and he commanded the most mighty men to bind them. And when the mighty men threw the men, these men were bound in their coats. And what happened to those men? What happened to those? Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But it said these three men fell down, bless their hearts, they fell down at first, bound into the midst of the furnace. But Nebuchadnezzar was astounded when he looked, and he said, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? He said, yes, O king. And he answered and said, lo, I see four walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Praise the Lord. You stay with God, and he will walk with you in that furnace. Any kind of furnace you're in. We may think it's hot here, but you know, there's a sect church at home in Guthrie, but it says, if you think it's hot here, it's hotter in hell. And that's true. But you know, this fire, this was real. These were real people that they could have been scared. They could have been thinking, you know, I'm going to get burned alive. But Jesus was there. Don't bow down to any idol of any kind. And just wanted to share that with you a little bit. But I want to move on to the next commandment. We know we have to go on to this. Okay, the next commandment says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. I want to read James 3. You know, this swearing world is terrible. I cringe when I hear these swear words. Don't like them. Terrible. God will visit people. There was a story about a man years ago, and he was a farmer. It's in a tract or something I read among the saints, but he was a farmer, and it started raining on his crops, and he was mad about it. He wasn't saved, of course. And he shook his hand at God, and he swore at God for making it rain on his crops. God was angry. Now, I'm not saying God's going to strike you dead every time if you swear. He hasn't. He's been merciful to many people. But that man, that day, he wasn't, and he let him have it. He struck him dead, and God was burned in this man's chest. Now, if you want to know more about this, and back then they traveled many miles to see him at the funeral home in the casket, and they saw this God on his chest. God killed him for swearing at him. People today, they don't respect God. Some people, I'm saying. Some people, I'm not saying saved people. I'm saying people that are out in the world, they don't respect God enough. They don't honor God enough. They don't give their lives to God like they should. But this swearing and talking hateful to God, you better be careful. You better be careful how we are to reverence our God. He has got our life in his hands. You know, he can take your life. Who are we anyway? Are we anything? Really? I mean, we're at God's mercy. Every heartbeat we have, we can think, you know, I've heard of people, they say, I went to the doctor and I got me a clean bill of health and went out and wasn't long, they died. You know, people go to the doctor and say, well, my cholesterol is great and my blood pressure is great. I'm in great. And you know, they go out and God takes them. I was reading Brother Susek's book years ago. I was reading and studying that. I love to read that book. And his little wife was just saved, and she decided she needed a nap. But before that, he was trying to, probably some of you have read that, he was trying to go to the store, and his car wouldn't work, and things was going wrong because God was detaining him. And she said, honey, I think I'll just go upstairs and just take a nap. I just feel really tired. And Sister Susak, and she went up there and lay down to take a nap, and she died. You know, we always think so many people's going to have this long illness, or people's going to have to, you know, it doesn't happen that way sometimes. We can die in our sleep. We could die anytime. We are at God's mercy, every one of us. This we're to love God and respect him. But I want to read in James here a little bit. James, where I'm at here. James 3 and 2. It says, for in many things we offend all. If in any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things of the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. Does that mean we cannot tame our tongue? What's it say there? It says no man can tame it. Without God helping us, we can't. But with the Holy Spirit and with the Lord, but we need to be aware how dangerous our tongue is. It's just a very small member here. But if we use it the wrong way, saints, we can get ourselves in a lot of problems. Oh, dear Lord, have you ever been praying when you were in a situation, keep my mouth shut, Lord? Have you ever done that? Keep my mouth shut. Help me not to say something I shouldn't say here. I'm in a tight place. If I say the wrong thing, I could cause a lot of problem here. Oh, Lord, help me to say what you want me to say. Oh, Jesus, help us. We have all made mistakes with our tongue. We've all said it. I don't think one could stand up here and tell me I've never made a mistake and never said something I shouldn't have said. But this is why we need to be aware of this. We need to think about the scripture. We need to realize that we need to watch our tongues and use them to glorify the Lord. And we don't have to be under bondage where we can't ever speak hardly. But, you know, we just need to be aware that the devil won't take advantage of us. And, you know, and this is going along with this message about swearing and using your tongue wrong. We want to go on to the next commandment. And I'm just trying my best to bring out some thoughts along with the commandment. Help us. So we want to go on to the fourth commandment. And we want to talk about, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. And it goes on. Now I know that we're not under bondage where, you know, some people, they don't want to cook and they don't want to do anything, you know. But we do need to be careful and we need to respect the Lord's day. Now, the Sabbath in the Old Testament was like Saturday. But in the New Testament, the reason the saints started worshiping in the New Testament, I'll read some scriptures, the first day of the week was Jesus resurrected on the first day of the week. And that's why the Christians begin to worship and meet each other on Sunday morning. And I want to read a couple of verses to go along with that. And you'd have to take a lesson to study that out. But I do want to read these scriptures in Matthew 28 and 1, or this one scripture I have, Matthew 28 and 1. Jesus, we've heard about the resurrection. We heard a message about the two men on the road to Emmaus. I love that chapter. When Jesus arose from the dead, saints, that gave us hope of eternal life. He was the first fruit. He came out of that tomb. Death is a miserable thing that we got to pass through. You know, death doesn't look too pleasing to us in our flesh. You know, does it look pleasing to you to think about dying? I mean, not really, except for the hope that you have, right? Because, you know, when you die, you got to pass through the shadow of the death. And, you know, if the Lord doesn't come, you'll have to be buried in the ground, your body. But, you know, we have this hope of eternal life. The Lord came out of that grave, and we will come out. Praise the Lord. We will live again. We will be in heaven with Jesus and all these saints and seven of these bitches. And, oh, you know, I look up here. I hope I'm not getting too loud. Pray for me. But, you know, Brother Sister Salmon, what's it about right there? I remember Brother Hargrave, Brother Kimball. We could just go on. And Sister Marie Miles. Well, I was a young girl. I just had got saved. And you know, Sister Clark was up here preaching on a long dress. No, she wasn't preaching on long dresses. She had a long dress on, really long. And back then, you know, even the world didn't wear a long dress like that. But she was preaching, but all I could think about was her dress. I thought, Ma, you got to wear dresses that long? That long? I said, I don't have enough grace. And see, I felt like the Lord was calling me to the ministry, so I thought, well, I got to be like her, just like her, you know. And that's all I could think about. I went to the altar, and I was crying. Help me. Help me to consecrate to be like Sister Clark. And, you know, Sister Marie has such wisdom. Sister Marie Miles came down the altar with me. She said, honey, what's the matter? And I said, well, I think I got to be like Sister Clark. I got to wear my dresses like her. And she says, honey, no. She says, you know that scripture? We're not to compare ourselves among ourselves. It's not wise. She said, you do what the Lord gives you the grace to do, and he'll teach you as you go. And I was wearing modest skirts. I don't mean that, you know, but hers was really, really little. And, but the Lord blessed Sister Marie. She was so sweet. She was so kind to me. She just loved me. And she helped me so much. much. I didn't know her real well, but she was always so good to me when I seen her. And you know, these saints are in our hearts and our minds. Let's not forget them. The old saints that have died and passed on. Brother Austin Wilson, he was up here preaching one message, one camp meeting I was in, and it was years ago, and he was preaching on grace. And I can't remember what I was having some kind of problem, and I was sitting in the back. I came in late, and I was sitting back there, and he was preaching, grace is free as the air we breathe. We may each have a full supply. He was standing right here behind this pulpit, maybe not the exact spot. He was preaching with his heart. Oh, I love that man in the Lord. He was so sweet, wasn't he? He was so precious. And we still have lots of his tapes, lots of his messages. We need to get them out. And, you know, people wonder, what can we do? What can the saints do? Feed your soul. Get those tapes and CDs or whatever and put them in your cars and listen to them messages. Don't let the dead saints just be dead. You know, get some of those messages. God gave those. The Holy Spirit was with those people. Some of you never even got to meet them in person, but you can feed on their messages. And Brother Austin Wilson preached about that grace is free as the air we breathe. I got a hold of it. I was sitting back there and I said, I need that grace. I went back to the cabin where I was. I think I was staying in a borrowed cabin, but I went back to the cabin. I poured my heart. I said, Lord, fill me with that grace from God right now. And he did. He filled me up. He filled me up. Now, some of the saints have said, no, Sister Marsha walked on out on Brother Austin. See how we judge one another? We never do that. Don't do that to each other in the camp meeting. You don't know what they're doing. They might be going to pray. And, you know, we don't want to judge messages by how many is at the altar. Well, I was at the altar. I was in my cabin at the altar. You know what I mean? You don't know what God is doing when you preach the word. You let it go forward, and it takes ground. We heard a message about that. Taking the, it gets in the ground. Your heart, open up your heart. Let the word get in there. Sow the seed. We are sowing every moment. Precious seeds. Oh, dear one, that song. We are sowing every moment seeds. We can do good with our lives. We can do it by the Lord's help. We can sow these seeds. Praise the Lord. Oh, I just love the Lord. He's so sweet. He's so wonderful. Oh, praise the Lord. He's just wonderful. And I'm getting so excited about the word. But anyway, I didn't read that. 28 and 1. I know the word is so exciting, and I've heard it's true. As older you get, the more exciting the word becomes to you. It gets sweeter. Brother Souders taught us, he said, about a man when you get first saved, you know, and they're on a bicycle, or no, they're chewing gum, that's it, chewing gum. And you know how when you chew gum, after a while, it's real sweet, and then it gets kind of stale, like no sweetness, nothing left but rubber. And you throw it, you just want to, how can I get this out of my mouth? I'll spit it out. But Jesus can, you know, put that gum in your mouth. If you want to test it, gum's not really good for you. It's got BHT in it. So I'm not going to preach you to have gum. But I'm just saying, if you ever do stick one in there, once in a while I like to do it anyway, by the Lord, I know I shouldn't do that. But I've been there. You know, they banned BHT in Europe. Not good for you. If you study nutrition, but that's another thing. But anyway, you put it in your mouth, and it's sweet at first. Jesus can keep that salvation. That's what I'm trying to get. Brother Souders thought, just as sweet as that gum when you first put it in your mouth. It doesn't have to get stale. It doesn't have to get like rubber. I can testify 40 years salvation, and I'm just getting sweeter to me. Life's getting sweeter. All these grandchildren have made my life so sweet. I love them. Oh, I love my grandchildren. My brother, when I was in West Virginia, he's a lot like me. Well, he loves his grandchildren. He just plays with them and hugs them and kisses them. And, oh, I tell you, I just love those little ones. You know, it's wonderful. Life can be sweet. People start getting older and I'm getting old. You know, you don't have to act like that. You can be fresh. You can be renewed. You can be full of life at any age. What was it? The one in the Bible that was 80 and or something? And he said, who was that? Help me. Caleb, and his he was, eyesight wasn't dim or something. He was strong, and he was just, what? Oh, my, yeah. Well, anyway, they were courageous men, weren't they? They were courageous. You can be that way at any age. Don't get down in the dumps. Forgive me for saying that, that's a slang kind of. But anyway, don't get discouraged. Don't do that. You can be faithful to God. You can be happy. God wants you to have a happy life. He wants you to be encouraged at any age. He wants you to go forward. He wants you to enjoy your life. He wants you to work for God as long as you can walk, as long as you can talk, as long as you can breathe. You can go forward for God. Praise the Lord. Don't I believe that? Do you believe that? Amen. Oh, I thank the Lord. I'm not going to get discouraged about nothing. Because the Lord is going to help me. I'm not going to get discouraged. I'm not going to listen to the devil. That's right. Got to be faithful. Okay, we want to go on and read that scripture. I'm sorry, but it's at the end of the Sabbath. See, at the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and set upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment was white as snow. And you know, the angel said, "He is not here." We won't read all of it, but you can read it later if you want to. But this is, "For he is risen, as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay." What we're trying to get at, that was at the first day of the week. That's when the Christians began to worship and come together Sunday morning, the first day of the week, because of Jesus' resurrection. This is why we are to keep that holy, keep a reverence for God. Keep going on for God. Praise the Lord. And we want to go on now to the fifth commandment. I know how much time I got up a little bit later, but I'll try to get through this. But I've got to preach this for the Lord. But Ephesians 6 and 1 we want to read. But the fifth commandment is honor your father and mother. You know, this is something that people are just getting away from. They are just not honoring their parents like they should. You know, it's just a shame. It's just awful. You know, the Lord has really dealt with me about honoring my mother. And my mother is 79 years old. My honor my mother. I try to go down there and see my mother. I fly down to West Virginia. I've been trying to go 3 times a year because she's 79 years old. And I don't know how long she's going to live. And I love my mother. And I try to do good for my mother. I try to watch after her needs and help her. Anything she has a need, I try to supply it. You know, we are to honor our parents. You know, it says that your days will be long upon the earth. But you know, it says here, the fifth commandment there, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. You want to live long? You want to die young? Then don't honor your parents. It might happen. I've read books about teenagers that snuck out the window at night, went off with teenagers, and didn't honor their parents. And a policeman come knock on the door and says, "Is your daughter here?" And they said, "Your daughter's been killed in a car accident." No, I'm just using a name. I can't remember the name. But, you know, my little Susie, she's upstairs in her bed. They run up there and open the door, and the covers are gone, the window's open. She snuck out, and she's dead. By disobeying your parents. Teenagers, I'm talking to you today, and young people, obey your mother and father. Don't disrespect their, you know, teenagers think, and I know I was a teenager, I know, you think that you know better. You think you know it all. You gotta, it's going through a dangerous time. The enemy's working against you, and you think that you know better, and you don't want to listen to your parents. You'll get yourself in a lot of trouble if you don't listen to your parents. I did when I was a teenager. I got in some trouble because I didn't listen to my daddy, and I got a whipping for it, too, and I got in lots of trouble. But, you know, I was a little ambitious or whatever you want to say, just exciting. Life was exciting to me, you know, and things like that. But my dad was right after me. He was a good dad. He was watching me all the time. And my dad, he found me one time in a pizza place. He come in there and got me. "You're going home, girl." Yes, Daddy. And so, you know, my daddy watched over me. Parents, we need to watch over our teenagers. Even on the campgrounds. I don't know why I'm saying this, but you know why. The Lord wants us to obey our parents. Ephesians 6 and 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. If someone wants to get a couple of scriptures for me to help me. Ephesians 6 and 1 and 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 4. I can get through this a little faster. Ephesians 6 and 1. Someone get that? Yes. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That is a very little short verse, but it means it's very strong. I used to teach that to my children, that verse for Sunday school. That's a good verse to use. And the other scripture in 2 Timothy, we want to read that, 3, 1 through 4. Yes. Thank you. And so we want to focus in on this commandment we're trying to teach here this morning. Disobedient to parents. The last days. All these other things in two. But this is what we want to focus on, this scripture I'm trying to teach us. Disobedient to parents. God takes note of that, saints. He's watching that. How you honor your parents. We need to honor our mother and father. No matter how old they get, you know, no matter how old we get. I still honor my mom. My daddy's gone. And I miss him so much. I loved him so much. And, you know, he was the closest one that has died to me. And so I know more about what grief is to people. It's very hard to see. No, you won't see them again in this life. And hopefully... But, you know, I will someday. I don't know for sure, but hopefully. But, you know, anyway, I thank the Lord that we can obey our parents. Don't be disobedient to your parents. Okay, we're going to try to finish this up a little bit here. We want to go on to thou shalt not kill. That is pretty self-explanatory. Except I will say that. Abortion and things that people are doing, they're not going to get by with it. It's a commandment, thou shalt not kill. You might get by with it in this world for a while, but you're going to have to ask God to forgive you. You're going to have to ask God to forgive you for taking that child's life. Or, you know, if we kill people, and we need to be careful we don't kill each other any other way. Kill each other's influence or kill each other with our tongue. We need to be very careful how we work with one another. And we want to go on to the next one. Thou shalt not commit adultery. We have two verses. If someone would read, help me out so I can go faster. Luke 16, 18 and Mark 8, 38. This is an adulterous generation. It is pitiful. We meet up with people all the time. It's almost always in our business that the people we're working with are in second marriage. It's just pitiful. It's just they don't think nothing of it in the world. They just, if you don't get along, you separate, you divorce, and you marry somebody else. We need to hold up this teaching. If it comes to divorce, we are to stay unmarried. The only way that we dissolve the marriage is death. Yes. Only. Yes. And, you know, you can have meetings about it. You can discuss it all day long and say that's what the Bible teaches. The only way out of your marriage is death. If you make a vow, you stick with it. If it don't work out, you still stick with it. If you are separated, you still stick with it. You are not free to marry nobody else unless they die. That is the only way out. Simple, plain, thou shalt not commit. commit adultery. God said it. He meant it. It's a commandment. That's it. There's no loopholes for it. We don't have to try to have a meeting about it for an hour or two. It's just what it says right there. And I'll read these scriptures in Luke 1 and 18. Someone have that? Okay. Very plain, isn't it? I don't know how it can be any plainer. You know, we're not trying to be hard on people. We're just trying to, you know, the saints are just holding up what God said. We're not, you know, we understand people get in all kinds of circumstances. It's sad. It's terrible. We love them. We're sorry. But God can restore the marriage or just stay unmarried until one of you die. That's just as plain as I can say it. I believe I'm teaching the truth out of the Bible. I want to read the other scripture I had there. Someone read that one. Mark 8:38. Adulterous generation.
In the glory of his Father with the holy angels.
Okay. You know, this is a sinful and adulterous generation. And it gets real close to us in our families. And for us to stand for what we believe in the truth, and people are not going to like it sometimes. But it says don't be ashamed of it. Stick with what you believe. Teach them right. Teach them right. Because we all have to stand before God, and we will not get to heaven if we disobey God's commands. Okay, we want to go on to the next one. Thou shalt not steal. That's right, sir. Yes. And this world, we teach modesty. This is why we teach modesty. One of the reasons. But, you know, women are to be adorn themselves with modest apparel and shamefacedness. We need to watch about everything. We need to be careful because we want to be examples of a Christian woman. We want to be what God wants us to be, holy, blameless in the sight of God. This world is, they're so immodest. Women shame me. I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed of the way the women are dressing in the world. I'm so embarrassed. I'm with my husband so many times in business world, and the women are so immodest. It is so hard for me. It is so hard for me, and I'm ashamed. But it's the devil working in the world. The devil. We are not. We are to be very careful. I thank the Lord that He can help us. Thou shalt not steal. I want to read, and I'm almost done here, but Luke 19:8. Thou shalt not steal. You know, I was taught that if we stole before we got saved, if it was possible for us to make our wrongs right now, to restore the pledge, there's a scripture, I don't know if I have that right here, but restore the pledge, give again as thou hast robbed, or something like that. But when I got saved, Grandma took me for a day, and I'm ashamed of it, but I'm going to tell it for the illustration. I think it was at J.C. Penney's. I can still about see it. It was a little... Teenagers did this to do... Not that I needed to do it. Not that I couldn't have got the money from my mom and dad. But it was excitement. It was to do something wrong and get by with it. But there was a little Daisy pin that I had stolen. And there was something else from Penney's. And I went back to the manager when I got saved. And I said, I found salvation. And when I was a teenager, I stole from you. And I'm willing to give you the money. Whatever you want me to do, I'm willing to pay you for what I've done. I'm very sorry. I said, I've got salvation. I'm very sorry. He said, no, ma'am. He said, that's enough for me that you have found salvation. It's a witness. And, you know, we need to, if we've stolen anything from somebody, we need to make it right. If we can, there might be circumstances where you can't, and then the blood will cover that. But we do need to make our wrongs right. And I think about the scripture. I just want to talk a little bit in Luke 19 and 8. It says, restore, you know, when Zacchaeus came to God, Jesus, he climbed up in that little sycamore tree and he said, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And, we don't have to turn to that, but if you want to read in Exodus 22 and 1, when they took one sheep in the Old Testament, they would give four sheep back. And I often wonder why Zacchaeus, and I was studying this, why Zacchaeus said, I will restore fourfold. He knew that. He probably heard. He knew that illustration there. That he required that. I'm not saying the Lord requires that now. But Jesus said, today has salvation come to this house. Because he was willing to restore. And then it goes on the ninth and tenth commandment. But it says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And maybe someone else can help me with some of that. But I was thinking about this way. Sometimes we hear rumors. We hear things about others. That's not really all the facts. Might not be all true. We need to be very careful that we don't falsely accuse one another. Or falsely repeat the matter, and you're telling a lie on somebody. You know you're going to face God with how you treat one another, how you tell. If you tell others lies about one another, if you say things that's really not true, if you use your tongue to hurt one another, you're going to face God on that. I mean, that's what I got out of that, falsely accuse one another. Be very careful how we do that. We know, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is my neighbor's. And we don't have to turn to that because of the time, but 1 Kings, Ahab, you know, Ahab wanted that vineyard, and his wife Jezebel, he started pouting. He wanted that other man's vineyard, and he was coveting that person's vineyard, what that person had. And he got it in his heart so bad that he pouted. And Jezebel, you can read that if you want to, it's in 1 Kings, but Jezebel said, what are you pouting? Where he said, she was a wicked woman. So she had this man killed so her husband could get that vineyard. You see what covetousness can bring to? I'm going to get this no matter what. I'm going to do that. I'm going to scheme. I'm going to plan. I'm going to get this property or whatever, it's of the devil. So anyway, I just pray that for me, that I love the Lord this morning. I wanted to share this burden on my heart. It was just so burden on my heart that we keep the Lord's commandments, that we study these commandments out and ask the Lord to help you. Pray for me.